Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is Reception Perception, the show. James Coe and Matt Harmon.
All right, a guy that is considered a stretch player, DJ Chark. This is a guy that is fast. I mean, we're talking 6'3". He's 200-plus pounds. And when he ran, he ran a 4.34 40 with a 40-inch vertical. The guy's got ups, and he's got speed. But the problem is, can he play wide receiver, Matt Harmon?
He can play wide receiver, but, man, he cannot really get open at this point anymore. And this has been kind of a compounding problem for DJ Chark since his breakout 2019 season. Like, his breakout season in 2019, reception perception, 69% success rate versus man, 79% success rate versus zone. As we just mentioned earlier, that's sort of, you know, just below good. That's like pretty, that's, well, 69% versus man is still pretty good. 79% versus zone, you're right, it's like a right around just above league average separator in terms of all those numbers we've just talked about here. So, but since then, 59% against man in 2020, 2021, 50% success rate versus man. This past year in 2022, 51.6% success rate versus man. That's at the fifth percentile. His success rate versus zone has also been going down. 57.6% last year. That's, I venture to say, that will be among the bottom three that we have sampled on the site this year, unless I really get into the lower tier here. This is a bad free agent class. We talked about it earlier. I must have typed the word below the 10th percentile like 10 times this weekend while putting these profiles together for a lot of these players. Not great. Not a lot of separators here on the market. DJ Chark, like you mentioned, though, he was fast, I think, a few years ago. I think he's lost a lot of speed. He's lost a lot of change of direction ability, ability, especially. Like, oh man, I mean, watching him run like a slant or a dig route, he just takes forever to get out of those breaks. I think he's lost a little bit from that angle, but he is still a tactical deep threat, because he's like more of a pure ball winner at this point. What he's really good at, and maybe the jumps are still there, you know, 72.7% success rate on catch. Let me say that again. 72.7% contested catch rate. He can still track the ball well, physical at the catch point. And that's where he made some plays downfield this past year for the Lions. So as like your number three receiver, he's never going to be a guy that gets open and gets separation. But if you're throwing him like deep routes and hoping him to catch some contested balls, he could do that for you.
All right. What's concerning for me is that he's below average on deep routes, right? Like a 41%, 41.9% success rate on the nine route last year. That's worse than 2021 Alan Lazard, right? Like,
yes.
And
is.
Again, no one is confusing Alan Lazard to be a downfield threat, right? So that's a problem. 26.3% success rate on the corners, on corner routes. That would have been second worst of all the receivers charted in 2021. A 58.6% success rate on post routes. That's slightly better, but still in the bottom third when we're talking about, you know, all wide receivers considered here, right? So it's a lot of red, and actually when you look at his chart, he had pretty much all reds except for one, I think, was a non-red, right? So we talked about Olave being almost all greens, the DJ Chark almost all reds. That's not good. That's not great. And again, what you would like to see, because where he is going to make money is as in a role going deep downfield. That's the role that he's been pigeonholed in. That's the role that, you know, that he's probably best suited to be in at this point. And if he's not winning downfield, Matt, boy, that's, to me, that's a problem.
Yeah, I think he's, again, if he's winning downfield, he's winning in like the Mike Williams way. You know, like Mike Williams is a premier deep threat, but it's not because he's fast. I think Chark, again, has just lost a lot of that speed. He's had a ton of injuries the last few years. I think that's been a part of it. And just in general, he's never really been a technician. He's never been a guy that's going to win with a lot of route running. It's just funny. Like, he actually kind of played more of a flanker, move around the formation role in 2019. And he's more just been like a big prototypical X receiver the last few years. I mean, he was not very good in his last season in Jacksonville. He was He was a productive player for the Lions. He was a useful player for the Lions because he can get deep. But yeah, I think he's kind of like an MVS type, you know? I mean, MVS is definitely faster, but can make acrobatic catches, is going to win downfield in that way, but is not a full route separator. I think that's what DJ Chark is, and I think that's obviously what MVS was for the Chiefs this past year and for the Packers prior to that.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
In 10 games as a Lion last year, 52 targets, 30 receptions, 502 yards, averaged 16.7 yards per reception. As you would imagine, when he catches them deep. In 2019, we keep bringing up his 2019 season. That was his second year in the league. It was his only 1,000-yard season where he had 1,008 yards, also had 8 touchdowns. Obviously, both are career highs. He has a career 55.8% catch rate, which actually, to be honest with you, given his role, that's really not that bad, to be honest with you. You know, obviously it doesn't sound great being in that 55% range, but given his role, a lot of deep shots, that's actually, to be honest with you, that's actually pretty good. And not going to hate on that. I don't think this is a guy that could play on the line of scrimmage, right? Like, he's got to play off the line and have a little bit of build-up speed to kind of, again, test teams vertically. I'm trying to think about some teams that would need him. And it's funny, I actually start thinking about the Chargers again. He's not the best, but golly, they just need speed. And I wonder if DJ Chark can give it to him.
Oh my God. Yeah. Let's get the Chargers another guy who can't get open. He'll fit in perfectly. You know, I think, like, if teams need a discount, like, speed guy, yeah, I actually would, and this guy's profile was not very good either, like, overall, but Paris Campbell, I thought was interesting when charting him for reception perception. Like, this is a guy that I wouldn't mind seeing the Chargers sign a player like this, because I had never, full disclosure, had never charted Paris Campbell for reception perception, which is why I wanted to do him over a guy like Darius Slayton or Mecole Hardman. I'm like, they're on the website already. They've got seasons. You go find them. Who cares? Know what they are. And Mecole Hardman, he's a guy that could be a speed threat on the cheap. But Paris Campbell, I thought, you know, he's had like our guy Zach Miller, by the way, it's all his fault. He was the one who's like, yeah, if you chart any of these guys, I would make it Paris Campbell. Well, Zach, we're gonna have to dock you next month's salary for that suggestion. But anyway,
was it that bad?
Well, it was definitely not good. I mean, 10th again. 10th percentile success rate versus man, 11th burst press, 8th against zone. But the funny part about Campbell was, like, I kind of expected him to be like a bunny hop slot receiver, because, you know, this is a guy that he's had a bunch of, like, truthers through the course of his career, Paris Campbell, because he's fast. He worked out really well at the combine. He was productive at Ohio State. But, I mean, unfortunately, like, I think him staying healthy this year probably, like, ended, like, the upside case for him, I guess. And I expected him to be more of like a bunny hop slot receiver, but his best routes were like the 9 route, the post route, you know, the flat route and screen route. Like, I almost kind of think, like, I'm not trying to get excited about Paris Campbell, but because he's not a tackle breaker either. And I mean, my God, like the amount of times, James, I saw this guy run into the guy covering him in man coverage. It's like, dude, come on. What are we doing here? Running a curl route right into his man coverage cornerback there. What are we doing? But if you need a guy that like just to give you speed, like you throw it to him in space, have him run with speed after catch,
right?
You need him to pop the lid off because he is legitimately fast and like it can legitimately run the nine route, the post route. He could stretch out the field a little bit. And I think he might come like real dirt cheap. I mean, obviously this is an easy connection to make, but you know, Frank Reich going to the Carolina Panthers, like he obviously has familiarity with Paris Campbell. They could use a little team speed there. That would kind of make some sense to me.